this is going to be painful.
I spoke these words aloud as I pulled the bathroom towel off my face and looked at the alarm. 5:20 a.m. My flight is at 7 a.m. I roll over and I hit the 30-year-old alarm clock to stop it, which, of course, kicks on the radio. I'm in my bed, in my DC apartment, wearing the same suit from a small gathering I attended the night before at my friend's house. It was the first time I left my apartment in several weeks, and I wasn't sure I would be returning to DC ever. So I wanted to say goodbye to some of my old DC pals before I happened upon a potential event horizon back in Ohio. Writing this 5 years later, still in Ohio, turns out Doug knows Doug best. Sitting on the side of my bed, still trying to assess the situation, my cat, Mr. Bubbins, sees that I'm now awake and immediately hides under the living room couch. Now, he only does this when he's terrified. I can't help but think, what have I done this time? My curiosity propels me out of bed into the living room, where I find my bag packed and waiting by the door, along with Bubbins' carrying case. Ah, that's what it is. He knows he's going in that thing today. I laugh out loud. I truly do know myself all too well. Unfortunately, the one thing I do not know is the location of my iPhone at this point. My flight leaves in 90 minutes, and I don't have time to casually search for it. I open the Find My app on my laptop and ping my phone. I instantly hear the iconic, "I misplaced my phone" sonar beacon sound and walk toward it. It's considerably muffled, and that's because the noise is coming from inside the fridge. I open the door and I find a pizza box, a half-drank bottle of Heineken, Tabasco sauce, Sriracha sauce, and a family-sized bag of peanut M&Ms. Side note, if you never tried refrigerated peanut M&Ms, you're welcome, because I just changed your life. I flip the lid on the pizza box, and there are two slices of pepperoni and mushroom pizza, along with my cell phone. I take my cell phone and the bottle of Heineken, because it's a 007 themed bottle, and you can't just let that go to waste. It's 5:40 a.m. I tear off my suit and pull a white t-shirt from my closet, a bad choice, and a pair of jeans. There's no time for a bubble bath or to review what I packed in my bag the night before. I have to get Mr. Bubbins from underneath the couch and into his carrier post haste. On any other flight, arriving at the airport 50 minutes before takeoff wouldn't bother me, actually, because I check in online and I have TSA pre-check. Today, however, I need to check in Mr. Bubbins at the counter, and airline policy is that you need to be checked in no later than 45 minutes before a flight. I make it to the ticket counter with moments to spare and hand my ID and credit card to the ticketing agent. "Do you have your dog's registration paperwork with you today?" she asks. "Huh? No, it's a cat." I raise the carrying case to show my cat inside. "No, I don't have any registration papers, but I already paid the $150 to have him with me, so we should be good to go." The ticketing agent tilts her head condescendingly and responds, "Okay, I see that, but it's really helpful if you have your animal's registration paperwork and recent shot confirmation list." I let out a big sigh. take off my hat, and slick back my hair. A habit of mine when I'm supremely annoyed.
Wait, what? I paid the fee to have him inside the plane. It said the paperwork was only necessary if he was going in with the luggage, so I don't need the paperwork, right?
Not wanting to be outdone, the agent sighs even louder back at me.
Well, it isn't mandatory, but again, like I said, it helps us with our processing and boarding process.
At this point, I'm seriously wondering if the ticketing agent's forehead is getting warm from the lasers I'm burning into it. I shake my head.
Wait, what the f-
I have to shake off the F-bomb.
What's the deal? Is the paper mandatory? Sounds like it's not, so can you please just give me my ticket and whatever type of piece of shit tag I need to put on this carrying case so I can move on?
The agent stops speaking, prints off all of my ticketing materials, and hands it to me with a mean glare. As I walk away, I raise the tickets and wave them slightly in the manner of, "Okay, got it." The TSA line to go through the metal detector is packed. How is this possible? Isn't the point of pre-check to bypass all of this shit? I tap a huge guy standing in front of me.
"Hey, sir, sorry. Are you also in the TSA pre-check lane?"
"Yeah, that's this one here. That one over there is for everyone else."
I thought so, but that line is like, it's moving faster than this one. So, isn't that kind of bizarre that this line is supposed to speed things up and yet the regular line is going faster?
The big dude simply snorts and nods his head slightly. I turn around and look at the person directly behind me. It's a skinny kid with a LA baseball cap on, sleeveless shirt, baggy shorts, knee-high white socks and sandals. I consider asking him if he's also in the correct lane, but just put my head down and continue to wait in line. Eventually, I get to the front of the line, and Andre the Giant in front of me can't get his ticket to scan on his iPhone because the barcode keeps rotating as he moves his phone. The TSA agent, a female with an overdone weave, isn't even paying attention to the situation at all, right in front of her as she plays on her gigantic phone. I'm at my wit's end, and so I take Herman Munster's phone out of his hand. "Here, if you swipe up from the bottom and turn on the rotate lock button, then it will stay in one place and make it easier to scan." Assuming this wouldn't immediately register with him, I scan his ticket for him and hand him back his phone.
"Excuse me, sir!"
Shaq 2.0 collects his bag and proceeds to take off his shoes, and is corrected that he doesn't have to in the pre-check lane. He then starts to take out his laptop, and is likewise informed he doesn't have to do that either. I hand my mandatory paper ticket to the agent, who scans it without looking at me, and continues to look at her gigantic phone. I check my larger bag with Miss Paperwork when I checked in Bubbins, and am currently only carrying him at this point. The TSA agent on the other side of the x-ray machine, a male with a beard and a black skull cap covering a bald head, is staring at his phone as well and not paying attention. I look at the guy, and then back at the TSA female that scanned my ticket, and it's clear to me they're texting each other because they're both snickering at the same time.
Excuse me, do I need to hand this bag over to you, or can I just walk through the metal detector with him?
The TSA agent ignores me, so I try again.
Hi, yeah, sorry. What do I do with my cat? I haven't went through before with him. Annoyed, the agent looks up from his phone at me, then back at his phone. He's going to need to come out the bag. What's that now? The TSA agent doesn't even look up this time. The young sandaled kid, formerly behind me, shoves past me, as does an elderly couple who make a snide comment of, "Some people." I'm burning lasers again. And so, I take off my hat, slick back my hair, and put the hat back on. "Hey man, sorry to bother you, but are you serious? What do you mean the cat has to come out of the bag? You mean like I have to..." And I'm pantomiming at this point to really drive home the point. I have to pull him out and show him to you, or what?" The TSA agent looks at me, blinks twice, shakes his head like I'm the village idiot, and then returns to looking at his phone. "Okay, yeah, I guess I don't understand. I mean, you want me to take a cat out of a bag he's already securely inside and can't escape from, and then walk him 10 feet just to put him back inside the bag?" The TSA agent makes a sound with his teeth, and then waves a businessman around me and through the metal detector while I stand and stare in disbelief. The world is starting to spin around me like a dramatic Christopher Nolan scene as I continue to stare at the TSA agent. Presently, he stops, and I shake it off, take a deep breath, and then begin to take my cat out of the bag. And Mr. Bubbins loses his shit. And starts clawing me and meowing loudly. He's understandably terrified, and now I've gone into a robotic mode of holding this cat as tight as I can to my chest while I go through the metal detector. I stop in front of the TSA agent and consider saying something, but I don't. I just swallow hard and make a bitter face as I move on. I get the cat back in the bag, but not before he claws my right arm from my inner elbow down to my wrist, producing immediate blood. Annoyed, and with nothing to wipe it off with, I collect my carrying case with cat inside and just let the blood run down my arm and drip through the terminal to my gate. I move, still bleeding, to my gate, 38B, as I hear the airline call my name over the loudspeaker, then it's my final boarding call. I shrink down and begin running in a low crouch to my gate, and down the stairs to the bus that will take me to the puddle jumper, waiting on the tarmac that will fly me to my parents' hometown in Ohio. Right as I'm about to board the bus, a short young woman blocks the door.
"Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Do you have the proper paperwork for this animal, sir?"
"What do you mean?" "Yeah, here's my boarding pass. It says I have an accompanying pet on it, so I'm good." I hand her my evidence.
Do you have this pet's registration and medical paperwork within the past 30 days?
"What? No, of course not. 30 days? What are you even talking about, 30 days? The cat's going under my seat. It's not going on the plane as cargo. I don't need paperwork for him." She reviews my ticket without looking up.
"Sir, remain calm. We ask that you have the animal's registration paperwork with you in the event of an emergency. You say you don't have it with you today?"
No, I don't have it because I don't have to have it, which is why I don't have it. So I don't know why you keep asking for it. What the hell is going on here? Am I high on peyote again?
Excuse me, sir? She hands me back my ticket, very slowly, with an offended look on her face. I take off my hat, I slick back my hair, and put my hat back on, and now I'm mumbling.
What the fuck, man?
I board the bus. Now sitting on the crowded bus, heading down the tarmac to the small plane bound for Ohio. There's only one seat free. The one to my right, as no one wants to sit next to me in my bleeding arm. I'm rubbing my eyes and forehead, massaging my headache, and when I look up, notice that everyone on the bus is staring at me, scared. A couple in their early 60s sit directly across from me. The man is wearing a Make America Great Again t-shirt, and the woman is wearing an American flag t-shirt with matching visor. The man is laughing and pointing at my feet. I look down and see my cat that I had momentarily forgotten about, as well as the blood on my jeans and shoes. I attempt a joke. He's not in there smoking again, is he? The man and woman look at me like I'm insane, and then turn their eyes downward. Off my hat, slick back my hair, and put my hat back on. The bus pulls up to the waiting plane and the passengers begin to board. I'm waiting for the plane to complete boarding as yet another overweight male squeezes over me to sit adjacent to me in the window seat. I don't want my bloodied arm to touch the large man, so I pull my arm up through my shirt sleeve and keep it inside my shirt, leaving the sleeve dangling empty. I close my eyes. I'm awakened as the plane touches down roughly. I'm waiting for my luggage to come through on the conveyor. My cat is in between my feet on the ground. My phone rings. It's my mom. Yo. Hi, Doug. It's Mom. Dad and I are parked right outside the door. Door 5. For American. Just like you said. Door 5. I look out the door window and see her on the phone. Yup, I can see you. I'll be right out. My mom asks. Did you bring your cat? Huh? No, Mom. Actually, I just left him home alone in D.C., and figured he would be fine by himself. Yes, of course I brought the cat with me. Okay, good. I got him this surf and turf because he said he likes tuna and that kind of stuff, so I got him some of that. I take the phone from my ear and I look at it for a second before speaking again. Right. Yeah, I saw that once too. He also likes lasagna. I'll be right out. Hey, Dad, how's it going? I ask, while shaking his hand. It's okay, it's all right. But let's get out of here, though. Don't be sitting here. Let's see those bags. Hey, Mom, how's it going? Oh, wow, is that your cat? Yep, this is Mr. Bubbins. My mom is surprisingly excited. Oh, my, he's a pretty one, isn't he? Hi, Bubby. Oh, sorry, Mom. He only speaks Russian. What's that? Why? I'm just joking, Mom. He speaks perfect English. And French. I notice my dad is looking at me from the rearview mirror. Oh, what's up with that Yankees hat? I take off the hat, and I look at it. Oh, yeah. This one? I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time in New York, so I just thought it was fitting. Slick back my hair. Put that back on. Always thought you were an Oakland A's fan. Yep, I still am, just a hat. Thought you hated the Yankees since they always beat Oakland. Doesn't make much sense to wear another team's hat. That's kind of weird. My mom cuts in. Does the cat want something to eat right now? No, he's fine. Don't worry about him. What about you? There's sandwiches in the cooler there. There's some bottled water, too. Okay, cool. Open the cooler and grab a water. My mom informs me that there's no beer in there because we're driving and Ohio has an open container law.
Yeah, Mom, I'm fine. I wasn't wanting a beer right now anyway.
My dad is still looking in the mirror. How much was that hat? This one? I ask, pointing to my head.
I don't know, like 30 bucks.
It's a nice hat, my mom chimes in.
You paid 30 bucks for a hat for a team you don't even like? Why would you do that?
I don't take off my hat. I don't slick back my hair. I take a deep breath.
I don't know, Dad. I truly think I'm going insane, I guess.
Silence falls over the car. I rub my eyes, look at my watch, and stare out the window at cornfields. Over the next 5 years back in Ohio, my parents were instrumental in helping me regain my health, both mentally and physically, and for that I am forever indebted to them. It was a tremendous benefit for me to return back to my roots, to reset and recalibrate. Kind of like how shutting off your computer every so often will enhance its performance the next time you turn it back on. In life, there's also often a lot of programs running in the background that we're unaware of, so it's always worthwhile to power down with some frequency. And while I'm no longer in Ohio and have returned to Los Angeles, during my time there I was able to repair some damage, make a lot of new friends, and gain a whole hell of a lot of perspective. The only negative thing, really, to come out of all of this is that now, when I speak with my parents on the phone out here in California, all they want to do is talk about Mr. Bubbins.